And the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, the pleasures of life, and they bring forth no fruit to maturity. Okay, these are the people, they don't accept it, but they don't reject it, they just neglect it. They hear the word, it's interesting, they don't really accept it completely, they're not ready to really make that commitment. They don't really reject it either, but it really kind of challenges them, and so they're like, you know, I'm going to think about this. Maybe I'll come to church for a while, maybe I'll check out that, maybe I'll try Jesus, you know. You don't try the cross, you get nailed to it. You don't try Jesus, you get crucified with Him so that you can experience His resurrection power. I'll give it a shot, maybe, but the cares and pressures of life, all the demands on their time and energy and concern, choke the Word. And so while they're considering it, they just neglect it and it gets choked out, and pretty soon they're nowhere to be found. They don't accept it, they don't reject it, they just neglect it, and so it never does them any good. And so they bear no fruit. They bear no fruit. There's no regeneration. There is no new life. There's no fruit coming through. Jesus said, they're branches that eventually will be cut down and thrown into the fire. You know what the biggest lie the devil tells the church, or the devil tells people when they hear the gospel? It's not that the gospel isn't true. It's that they have all the time in the world to do something about it. And that's what these people have fallen into. Oh, it's, yeah, I guess it's true. Maybe. I don't know. I have to check it out. But I just don't want to deal with it today. The game is on. Or I got to go over to my sister's. Or I got to pay this bill. Or, you know, I'm just not in a place right now for this kind of thing. I'll get around to it. That's why I love, on the table out there, we have this little round thing called, that says T-U-I-T. It's around to it. Somebody says, well, I'll get around to it someday. Give it to them. You just got around to it. And the problem is they believe there are other things more important than their soul. Jesus said there is nothing more important than our soul. There is nothing more important than your soul. 3 billion years from today, the only thing that will matter is the state of your soul. Because the day you check out of here, you cannot do anything about it. Today, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. And Jesus said, as valuable as your sight, your very eyes are, even they cannot compare to the value of your soul. He said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it out, because it's better to enter into paradise with one eye than to be cast into hell with both eyes and fully able to see. There is nothing more precious than our soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What does that tell us about the value of the souls that we are called out and share the gospel with? All right. Number 4. Verse 15. But the ones that fell on the ground, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And we look at other parallel passages of this illustration here. The other Gospels mention some bore fruit 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But the bottom line is they bore fruit. There was life. There was regeneration. They were born again. And it's in contrast to all those other situations where they bore no fruit, because they were either choked out, or because the enemy took the seed away, or because they had no moisture and no root, no ground. This is genuine regeneration. This is a person receiving the Word of God, and it takes root in their heart, and they are miraculously born again by the Spirit of God. There is new life inside. and it manifests itself throughout their life as fruit. They become transformed. You start to see changes take place in them. They're not just the same old, constant, dysfunctional, in bondage person year after year after year after year. There's victory in their life. It might be 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, but they're making progress. There is transformation because God, who has begun a good work in them, will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's God who is at work inside of us to will and to do His good pleasure. If God is not there, you're not going to see nothing happen. But if God is inside, He's not sitting back there with a beer and potato chips watching the tube. He's at work in your heart, changing you, transforming you, and you are going to see growth. You're going to see fruit. You're going to see life in a person who has truly been born again. That is a fruitful vine. Okay, so Luke, how many soils, brother?
4.
Thank you. 4 soils. There's the ones that don't believe. There's the ones that superficially believe and then fall away when the price gets too high. There's the ones that believe, but not now. They have other things that get in the way and they never take action by faith. And there are the ones who receive it in a good heart by faith. And they are born again and they bear fruit and they show evidence of transformation. Now, here's an interesting question in closing. Which one do you think Carlton Pearson is? Which one do you think Carlton Pearson is? What soil did that seed fall on? Make you think. While you're thinking about that, where are you? What's the soil of your heart? Have you received it in faith? Have you believed it, first of all? And having believed it, do you see the value of it? And are you ready to embrace it with faith that this is the most important issue your soul can face? And are you ready to cry out to God, Lord, I need You. I have bankrupted myself, but You have everything and You are everything I need. Come in my heart. Save me. Let me walk with You the rest of my life. I would pray that you, if you've never made that decision, that you would make that decision today and receive the free gift of life from Jesus Christ. He gives it to us freely because He paid for it with His own blood. Carlton Pearson would say that we just manipulate people into victory. I would say, hold that thought. I would say that we have a God who truly saves, who truly heals, who truly delivers, who truly has power over all the weapons of the enemy, and that He is able to save if we truly turn with all of our heart to Him. Carlton Pearson does not have the answer. He cannot give people hope. All he has is vapor. But we have the answer. We have the hope. We have the truth. We have the light. And God says, give it out. Give it out. You've got the stuff. You've got the goods. You've got what they need. Don't be afraid. Lay hold of it by faith for yourself, and then share it with other people, because it's the only thing that matters in the world, and it makes all the difference in the world. Joe, sweetheart, what you got on your heart, babe? Yeah. Yeah.
They left the church, and then what happened was that he, from what I've seen that night, he started getting into a Satan church.
Yes.
And he thought all this was okay.
Yes. Heartbreaking. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. You know, we can become very enamored with people that we love. To the point where, you know, I've known people who started out their marriage so consumed with affection for each other that they looked at each other as though they were miniature gods. And the people we love, we see through the eyes of our affection, and we paint a very fuzzy but beautiful portrait of them in our heart. And we don't want to think about that possibly a person that we love could actually do anything wrong. Could be selfish. Could be a gossiper. Could backbite. Could have secret sin in their heart. Bitterness. Unforgiveness, hatred. Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. We don't like to think of the people because we look on the outside and we see very nice things. God looks on the heart. And if you did everything you ever fantasized about doing in your life, I just want to give you, just think about this for a minute. Every person that ever cut you off on the highway that you fantasized about dragging out of their car and beating to a pulp, every person that ever spoke to you the wrong way and wounded you, and you just in your mind chewed their head clean off their shoulders. If you actually literally slept with every person you ever lusted about. If every lie you've ever told was suddenly put on the paper and shown to be a lie. When you stood before the throne of God, would you be guilty or would you be innocent? How bad of a sinner would you be? How many people would you have slept with? How many people would you have murdered? How many people would you have left in a pool of blood? How many people would you have destroyed with the razor sharp words of your mouth? Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. The amazing thing is not that God would send a nice old lady to hell. Listen, I've met a lot of nice old ladies working car accident claims. I worked claims for 20 years. Had a lot of old ladies calling me up, and they were sweet as pie. They blessed me in Jesus' name up and down. When they got me on the phone and when I told them I had to take away their rent-a-car, my goodness, could they cuss. I have heard words that would make a sailor embarrassed from these little old ladies. The amazing thing is not that God would send somebody to hell. The amazing thing is that God would give His Son to die for us so that we would not have to go. That's the amazing thing. God owed the cross to nobody. He would still be the same just, righteous, loving God if He simply gave us what we deserved. It's amazing that He gave the cross for anybody. But the fact that He did that and invites us to come and gives it to us as a free gift for those who will call out to Him in repentance and faith, that's the miracle. And Joe, amen, hon. My heart echoes what you said. It's heartbreaking. It's tragic and it's sad. But it just underscores the need for us to speak the truth all the more boldly and to hold up a standard so that people will know where to go when they're ready to cry out to Him. Amen. Amen.